The Israel Report with Rolene Marx.
Now that's a name I can't forget. Good afternoon, Rolene.
I don't know. Some people want to forget my name.
So, Rolene, we've got a lot to get through. So we've got to you a little bit earlier today because there's so much to talk about. So let's just kick off right now. Operation Breaking Waves, it continues. It's been a very tense weekend following the terror attack in Tel Aviv last week on Thursday. What actually happened in Tel Aviv on Thursday night?
Well, let's go through the story, the news, as it broke on Thursday night at about 9:30, as many young people were gathered in bars and pubs across Tel Aviv, because some people might not be aware of it, but the work week for Israelis is Sunday to Thursday. So a Thursday night essentially is like a Saturday night for you guys in South Africa. So people will go out to eat, they'll pack the bars. You know, we have to remember that on a Friday night, a lot of this is closed because of Shabbat. And a terrorist from the town of Jenin in the West Bank entered Israel illegally. He did not have permits. He was armed and he opened fire, killing two Israelis, Tomer Mador and Eitan Megini. And Tomer Molad. I forgot. I apologize for the mispronouncement. Sometimes I read my notes in Hebrew. The next day, a third person passed away as a result of his wounds. Barak Lufen, who actually happened to be an Olympic kayak champion representing Israel, and also since his retirement, went on to coach the Paralympic kayak team, and several others were wounded, several of them seriously. After he opened fire, police went on a massive manhunt across the city. There are eyewitness accounts of Tel Avivians saying they were told to get indoors, lock their doors, and not come out until further notice. So a real climate of absolute terror, which is what terrorists want, which is what terrorists' intention is. And they managed to corner him, hiding very close to a mosque in Jaffa, and he was killed in an exchange of fire. Incidentally, no sooner had this happened than Palestinians in the streets of the West Bank and Gaza were handing out candies, they were handing out pastries to celebrate this. And his father, who was a former security officer in the Palestinian Authority security forces, actually lauded the attack, going on to say, "We are now handing the baton over to the younger generation to carry out more of these attacks." So this brings it to a total of now 5 terror attacks and 14 people killed as a result of this. So as you can expect, Israel is on high security alert. Our troops have widened their search, widened their operation. We know now that we do have IDF stationed along the security barrier. That security barrier was put in place to prevent these kinds of incidents, and in particular suicide bombings. So there have been holes found in the fence, which is something that has to be investigated. We have also approved a big budget to ensure the safety and to increase the security along the security fence. Because the terrorists came from the town of Jenin, Jenin has been sealed off, and IDF and security forces are raiding the area. They are looking specifically for members of the family of this killer. Also, the next day in Hebron, a woman armed with a knife charged at a Israeli officer. She was also neutralized. And the situation, and Chad, you are a military person, you serve in the police. Situations like this are highly, highly, highly charged. Very, very, very tense. How do you think any military in the world is going to react at a time of a spate of terror attacks if somebody who is armed runs towards them?
Well, we had a situation in South Africa last year where a man cocked a weapon and threatened police officers. And when he went for them, one of the police officers discharged his firearm, shot the man in the head. The man collapsed. And people said, well, why didn't they shoot him in the knee? Why didn't they shoot him in the leg? And that's not how it works. This man survived. I hope he goes to trial. The policeman received a lot of flack for what they did, which was completely and utterly unfounded. This guy attacked the police. And you are trained to take the headshot to neutralize a threat. If you shoot somebody and you graze them, or you shoot somebody in the leg, like everybody suggests, everybody's suddenly a marksman, everybody's suddenly an expert. It's not going to help. If somebody is posing a clear and present threat, you use the term neutralize, I use the term neutralize, you have to take that threat out.
Fair enough. Because we've had another situation, and I think it's scheduled for us to talk about, where a Palestinian woman also, while soldiers were conducting their raids yesterday, ran towards the soldiers. Now, the soldiers told her to stop. They fired their warning shot, and then they shot her in the leg. However, the bullet hit in the artery and she bled out and she died. But if you are in a situation like this, where you have been warned, where you are in a very, very tense situation, people who are trained, security, police, soldiers, are going to react.
No, of course they are. And it's to be expected. And the military, people must understand, military are not police. They train very differently. And if there's a military operation taking place, the military are going to react the way in which they are trained, and that is to neutralize a threat. Moving on, there's been a lot of news about the attack at the Tomb of Joseph, which is both sacred to Jews as well as Christians and Muslims. What's going on here, and has there been any international condemnation regarding this attack?
Well, the Tomb of Joseph, which is situated in the town of Nablus, which we know biblically as Shechem, was vandalized, was desecrated in the early hours of Sunday morning. Now, of course, there's security camera footage, and the security camera footage clearly shows mobs of Palestinians, in fact, quite a big mob, coming to the tomb, setting fire to the tomb, desecrating it, and you can actually see images and the footage on social media of large chunks of the tomb destroyed and scorch marks from where they set fire. Cut to earlier today, and again, the tomb was desecrated and set on fire. Now, this is a holy shrine. This is Yosef Hanavi, Joseph the prophet, a shrine sacred not just to Jews. Many religious Jews come to the shrine under a security guard of the IDF or security officials. This has to be very, very well coordinated with them, because they're coming into territory that is under the remit of the Palestinian Authority. But we have had the situation in the last 2 days where this holy site has been desecrated. Now, I've seen a lot of Muslims from the United Kingdom, Muslims Against Anti-Semitism, Muslims in the UAE, in Saudi, in Bahrain, condemning this, saying, you know, an attack on a holy site like this is not just a desecration for the Jews, it's also desecration for Muslims, especially in the holy month of Ramadan. It's a shrine that is holy to Christians and also Samaritans, which is a sect that, you know, we don't know too much about, which is very, very interesting, but this is sacred to them. Now, only the Israeli government seem to have condemned this. This hasn't received any global condemnation. And a lot of people are angry, saying, you know, last year, this time, we had an 11-day war because people's perceptions, not necessarily the reality, people's perceptions was there was a desecration of the Al-Aqsa Mosque by Israel. The investigations were proven that this was not the case. Everything is done in coordination with the Waqf to ensure that the status quo is maintained. But here we have another situation where a holy site has been desecrated and nobody is saying a thing. The media is not picking up on it. Cut to earlier today, two Hasidic worshippers from the Breslov sect came to the tomb. Now, they entered illegally. They did not do this in coordination with the security authorities, as they should have. And the result of which is that they were shot by Palestinian gunmen. They're only moderately wounded, but this is now becoming a real flashpoint. And there are concerns that this could result in more violence and that the violence could spread. So it is a very, very, very tense and difficult situation to manage right now. Our defense minister has said that Israeli forces are under no restrictions when it comes to operating against terror.
So my pronunciation today is not very good. So I've got the Eitan part right. Is the surname Stibber?
You're correct. Your pronunciation is absolutely correct, unlike mine, which is a bit dodgy today. It comes from reading in two languages. You are absolutely 100% correct.
So an amazing story, and it's a feel-good story for a change to end off this segment. And we're going to talk about it quite in-depth. Eitan Stibber has successfully blasted off into space. He docked with the International Space Station. I watched this, by the way, while I was at a lodge in the Waterberg. And it was quite dramatic because there was a video link that they couldn't make. And because they couldn't get this video link up and running, there was only a 2-hour time in which they were going to be able to join this aircraft, or the spacecraft rather, with the space station. So it was so dramatic. Tell us more about this mission.
Well, this is just fascinating. And you know, we're super proud. And I feel sorry for Eitan Stibber, because unfortunately, this incredible historic occasion is being overshadowed by the terror spree that is happening at the moment and the tensions back here on planet Earth. But Eitan, who is an entrepreneur and philanthropist, he is aboard the SpaceX. It's part of the first private space mission to the International Space Station. They took off from Cape Canaveral the early hours of Friday morning, South African and Israeli time. And as you said, an absolute hair-raising 10 minutes to watch the SpaceX dock with the International Space Station. But it did it successfully. Eitan went aboard. He is the second Israeli astronaut in space. He follows Ilan Ramon, who sadly was killed along with his crew on the Columbia. Just, I think it's about, what now, 19, nearly 20 years ago. Absolutely tragic. Of course, we had our famous mission to the moon on an unmanned spacecraft in 2019, which landed with a bang, which to me is just how we drive in Israel. So I didn't see it as any kind of failure at all. But now we have sent Eitan. He is our second astronaut in space. He will spend a week aboard the International Space Station. He'll be conducting about 35 different experiments. So it will be great to see how he communicates this back to Israel, in particular to Israeli schools. Space exploration is something that Israel is doing more and more and more. In fact, we've even signed a memorandum of understanding with our Abrahamic peace partners, the Emiratis. So he's on board. There he went aboard. He gave his message to his crew in Hebrew. So wonderful to hear Hebrew extraterrestrially. And then he had a conversation with another very important man yesterday, which was our President Isaac Herzog, speaking to him aboard the spacecraft and saying to him, we are seeing history with our own eyes. Now, he has taken several things with him into space. He's got an Israeli flag. He also has a glass cube that is engraved with a prayer. It's a prayer written by the president's grandfather, Rabbi Isaac Halevi Herzog. And the prayer is a prayer for the safety, for the welfare of the state of Israel, which I think everyone can agree we really, really need right now. And if we have to go outside of the earth structure to get it, so be it. But really, really a moment of great pride for the state of Israel.
We actually covered every single topic with a minute and 30 seconds to spare.
Well,
it's a record for us, Raleen. So it's the first time ever.
It's a record for us. I tell you, I aim to please.
Raleen, I'm here till Thursday, no longer till Tuesday. So I'll be chatting to you throughout the week. I look forward to our conversations during the course of the week. And let's just hope that something happens to change this horrible, horrible course of events that we're seeing playing out in front of us in Israel at the moment with these renewed terror attacks.
Amen to that. We will chat again this time tomorrow.
Raleen, I look forward to it.